Welcome to Tonic Boom, a specialist capital markets podcast series brought to you by Tonic, the expertise-led consultancy dedicated to giving firms more. Join our host, our resident Tonic ninjas, and industry experts as we drop the mic on the hot market topics across high-profile domains such as margin, post-trade, treasury, risk, digital, legal, sustainability, and more. More expertise, more trust, more achieved. Ready for your dose of Tonic?
Hello, hello, and a very warm welcome to Tonic Boom. For those tuning in for the first time, Boom is Tonic's expertise-led podcast series covering the hottest topics across capital markets and beyond. I'm Chris Watts, Tonic CEO and co-founder, and your host for today. Today's boom is titled Redefining Collateral Mobility. And the goal today is to chat through, in practical terms, how the global cap markets industry is looking to leverage distributed ledger or DLT solutions to improve collateral mobility and liquidity across the street. We'll be digging into some key collateral challenges that firms experience today and how DLT solutions are acting as an important remediant. So today, we're blessed to have the good folk from HQLX with us. Thanks for coming, guys. For those that don't know, HQLX is an innovative fintech firm leveraging DLT solutions to bring key efficiencies across SEC finance and the collateral industry. So super, super relevant crowd for today's topic. Let's do some intros. All of our specialists today have experience of both the TradFi collateral operating models and its challenges, as well as the DLT tokenization worlds. Let's start with our friends at HQLX. We have Erica DeRosa and Martin O'Connell here with us. Guys, do you mind introing yourselves?
Hi, everyone. I'm Erica DeRosa, and I'm a solutions architect at HQLX. Been here for about a year and a half now, and previously spent a lot of time in the industry in the traditional security space.
I'm Martin O'Connell. I've been with HQLX now getting on for 3.5 years. Again, as a solutions architect, so you've got almost the entire solutions architect team here on the podcast with you. My previous experience is working in really change and strategy and technological implementations around securities finance and collateral for a couple of the big dealer banks.
Thank you, guys. I hope HQ is holding up. Bearing in mind, we've taken the holy architect team out of their base. Mr. Falcon, Captain Philip Falcon, Tonic Head of Collateral. Do you mind?
Sure. Thank you, Philip Falcon. So I lead the collateral domain at Tonic. I've been at Tonic now for 4 years, and my background is predominantly in the derivatives, collateral and clearing market. Really excited to discuss all things collateral mobility today. It's going to be a good discussion.
Awesome. Now, before we go too far, our listeners will know this is a chance to get to know our two guests a little bit better. We're going to do that by our trusted two truths, one lie challenge. And I've heard on the street that, Martin, you've drawn the short straw or the lucky card.
Yeah, we're not really sure which.
And just so we're clear, actually, Erica, do you know Martin's truths and lie?
I do.
So, Martin, I don't think I need to explain rules. I think you've got it. Our listeners get it. At the moment, I believe Tonic is 4-1 up. And the one that was wrong was very much my fault. So I might well delegate to you today. But Martin, the floor is yours.
All right. So I'm going to give you three celebrity encounters. You have to figure out which of the two actually happened. So the first one, I found myself one time a few years ago on a plane sat in front of Rod Stewart. Second one, and this is going back actually quite a long way now, almost 10 years, I found myself on a train sat beside Keir Starmer, of all people.
Very good.
And the final one, and this is much more recent, just a very few weeks ago, I was at a concert and discovered I was sat right behind Harry Enfield.
So just to play back, so we've got in front of Rod Stewart on a plane, Keir Starmer on a train, literally next to.
Adjacent to, yeah. Across the aisle.
Very good. And Harry Enfield with theatre.
At a concert in a theatre.
Very good. Falcon, thoughts?
So sitting with Rod on a plane, I'd say challenging because he probably flies, if not first class, his own private jets.
What was the timing on that?
About 2017.
Rod's probably doing his gigs over in LA or something, isn't he? So I'll say that the one lie is Rod. I'd say the truths are Keir Starmer and Harry Enfield.
Is that your final answer?
Final?
That's me done. Yep. Yes.
That's very perceptive. It was actually my wife who sat in front of Rod Stewart.
You got it.
So she did.
Maybe not in front.
Maybe passed him while boarding. Yeah.
That's our first ever Celeg Two Truths, One Lie challenge. So that was taking it to the next level. Thank you. Right. So that was fun. We should probably get onto our main segment focused on redefining collateral mobility. Now, I guess a sensible place to start is, in summary, it feels like there's so much going on in the digital domain at the moment, specific to digital assets and collateral. It all seems to be moving at a crazy pace. It's tough to keep up. Much of the focus seems to be led by collateral use cases. I think a good place to start would just be trying to help our listeners understand why is that? Why is collateral playing such a prominent role for digital use cases?
I'll start. I think the important thing to appreciate is the size of the collateral market. It's in the vicinity of like 24, 25 trillion euros. So it's a significant amount of collateral for repo, sec finance and derivatives. So in order for that market to work optimally, there's lots of custodians, tri-party agents, banks, broker-dealers, clients that need to move collateral. And, you know, the interoperability between all those different participants sometimes isn't great. Yeah. And therefore, you know, there are credit charges, there's liquidity charges, there are settlement fails, etc. in this huge market. And therefore, any improvements to, you know, improving the mobility of collateral or the fluidity of collateral will make significant savings for organizations in terms of costs. So I think, you know, it's ripe for change. There's a lot out there that needs to be done. And the HQLX proposition really addresses some of those sort of key issues.
It's big, it's messy, it's ripe for disruption, particularly in that settlement subdomain.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at Europe, there are over 40 different custodians, tri-party agents, CSDs. So, you know, the lack of interoperability between all those agents means that it is, you know, the perfect use case for digital assets with which, you know, what we're looking at is instantaneous settlement. So it's going to improve, you know, credit, liquidity and cost.
I think the cost's an important one. Very good. So I think, conscious of the challenges that Phil's nicely framed there around all things collateral, market demand does seem to be ramping up, I guess, quickly and dramatically to the point for digital solutions. Do you guys feel like that's the case? And if so, why do you see this sudden leap in demand?
So I think the shorthand that we use internally for what Phil's just described is the spaghetti mess, which I think you've probably even seen on some of our marketing material in the past, right? The spaghetti mess that every participant in the collateral market has to navigate to take collateral from its source to its use. It's complicated. It's subject to fails. It's expensive. It's much more expensive than it needs to be. And I think solutions like ours, there are others around as well, can help to really take a lot of that pressure off the brokers, the dealers, the buy side firms that are active in this market. I think one of the things that's accelerating it, to your point, is really the advent of T+1. So there was a fairly straightforward experience in the US and North American markets last year. They're very homogenous markets. There really aren't that many custody operations. There's really only one main tri-party agent. It's a fairly straightforward market to achieve a change of that scale in. It's a very different problem in Europe. And let's remember, T+1 is the cash market deadline. Collateral markets move inside cash markets. So really, if it's T+1 for buying and selling, that means it's T0 for collateral. And that is a huge game changer for the securities finance and collateral industry and all the participants. It takes everything that can today work in an end of day world, in a batch world, basically download the spreadsheet and figure out what I'm going to do in the morning world to real time overnight. And that's going to be transformative for the industry in Europe. So you've got the complexity that Phil mentioned, 40 plus different custodians, lots of markets, lots of currencies, lots of collateral, and the need to process it all real time. And today's infrastructure is just never built to solve that problem. It's really not in a good state to solve that problem. And we think that by moving up to much more digital capabilities, whether that's DLT or however that gets put in place for the market, that will enable participants to really address those challenges and face them head on.
I think I'll add to that by saying, and actually touching on a point that you made, Chris, is that, you know, banks have been focused on reducing costs for a while and really focused on optimizing collateral. And I think what the focus has really been, and now it's really shifting to, is extracting as much value as possible from collateral movements. So I think while that's been a focus for a while, I think there's this now new shift to really trying to do that by increasing collateral velocity and this kind of concept of following the sun, where you could use a piece of collateral in one region and use that throughout the day in other regions as obviously we go through a 24-hour cycle. So I think while we've been focused on cost reduction, now it's about extracting that value through these kind of additional collateral movements throughout the day.
Got you. And just to double check, when you guys talk, like you're talking about fluidity of movement, cross region, I can move a treasury to Japan, I can move a JGB to the States. Is it that type of...
Yeah, so like collateral velocity, meaning that you're using a piece of collateral multiple times throughout the day. Yes. So whether that's across regions or even for multiple use cases or reasons in the same region, but few times a day, I think people are looking to do that more than they have in the past.
Which would make sense, I guess. Demands are getting bigger, you know, and these silos don't hold up anymore.
And just to add into that, in terms of like how markets react in stressed events, you know, the current issues with moving collateral means that organizations don't really know what their collateral positions are. So having the ability to instantaneously move collateral will improve organizations and how they react in a stressed market. They'll get a lot more comfort from a credit perspective. So moving to instantaneous settlement is going to really improve that.
Very good. Okay. All good points. Well made. The growing set of challenges for collateral is clear in what you guys are playing back and the increasing need, I guess, for the digital agenda. Conscious that we're blessed to have two guys in the room from HQLX. We should probably focus a little bit on is what you're doing for your clients to help them overcome some of these challenges. Are you able to give us a skinny?
Should we start with just a quick briefing for anyone who's not really up to speed on what HQLX is or what HQLX does? So I guess the way to think about HQLX, it's a post-trade settlement location. So, you know, we're not a trading platform, we're not a marketplace, we are post-trade, we are settlement. And really we operate in two layers. So we operate a DLT layer. Clients operate nodes on the DLT, which look to all the world like a settlement location. Really, that's how you model it in your internal systems. And we partner with a custody partner. We call them trusted third party. And this is a Deutsche Börse Group entity called Clearstream International. So we have a licensed custodian operating model with the DLT sat on top, orchestrating collateral moves. And we find that works really well. It's familiar to the legal counsels at our client base. It's a standard model. It's licensed. It's regulated. It allows us to really interject ourselves directly into the existing trade flows. I guess some of the misnomers that sometimes come out when we first meet clients, just are you operating digital assets? I mean, we use a lot of similar technology to digital assets firms, but what we're managing on the platform today, what our customers are using us for is TradFi, right? So we have traditional assets moving on our platform. So if you look at our platform, you don't have some weird and wonderful new asset to try to get your, or frankly, your IT department's heads around. You know, it's got an ISIN, it's got a quantity, you can observe the price in the market, but it's a regular asset. It's just being moved through a custodian that has digital capabilities. And really what those digital capabilities add, you can schedule settlement at precise moments in time. So you can move from settle date to settle time using our platform. That's quite, you know, especially for intraday use cases, that's quite valuable. You've got much longer operating hours. So, I mean, in theory, 24/7, whether anyone's ever going to try to settle something at 3 o'clock on a Sunday morning, we don't know, but it's at least technically possible. So that makes the whole follow the sun model a lot more feasible on our platform. And it's programmable, right? So all the advantages that you would have with a digital platform are available on HQLAX. You can make things conditional, you can make things programmable, you can act on your collateral in ways that really aren't possible in a traditional settlement world. So we've got those advantages, and we've also built it so that it's simple to integrate by hopefully adopting as many of the existing market protocols as we can. So in fact, some of our clients have told us they actually have no build to integrate HQLX. So I want to put it out there because one of the first things our clients say is, how much IT money do I need to spend to use your platform? And I wouldn't say it's always zero, but for some of them, certainly the answer has been zero. So that's quite encouraging for us to hear as feedback.
I think the other part to add is that we really have like three main functionalities, which can be applied to a variety of use cases. So we have our DVD functionality, which is delivery versus delivery, which facilitates atomic settlement of collateral swaps. It can be applied to securities lending transactions and solves the prepay issue where there's the give before you get, whether it's intraday or overnight, and could also be applied to other use cases such as intercompany transactions, et cetera. We also have DVP functionality, where we actually interact with cash ledgers to partner with them to facilitate D on our ledger and P on a partner ledger, which can, you know, bring efficiencies to the DVP market by being able to book trades to precise moments in time. It could also open up the world to intraday transactions, which we'll speak about a little bit later, and also potential for cross-currency repo, where you have collateral in one location, cash in another, and the currencies are different, which is something that doesn't get facilitated today. And then finally, we have D, which is just a one-sided collateral movement. And that helps facilitate things such as margin posting, whether it's for house margin or client margin. So we have these three main functionalities. They could be applied to a variety of things. And we think that the three core areas where they get applied to are really collateral management, liquidity management, and or really optimization of binding constraints such as LCR ratios, NSFR management, and things like that.
Very good. I was just going to ask, I guess, a related question, actually. So we understand the three sort of sets of functionality that you guys offer. Are there certain use cases or products that are more in demand at the moment?
Yeah, so I'll start. So we've been doing a deep dive into intraday liquidity use cases, and that's something that I've been leading. What we've done is we started with a round table earlier this year where we had 10 different institutions come together and really start deciding and figuring out how we could build and scale an intraday liquidity market. So in the past, we've participated in the ECB trials, we've done intraday repo, and I think there's a lot of intraday repo and conversations out there. But to really get people to start using this as a product and thinking about how it can apply to their banks is something that we're focused on now. So we have this roundtable, and since then we started a working group, and this group is trying to bring the market together in order to figure out those key things that are required to adopt the intraday repo market or potentially another intraday liquidity solution as something that can be used and integrated into the existing systems today. So what we're actually doing is also we're trying to figure out the simplest way that banks could start using an intraday liquidity product with really bare minimum requirements. So for instance, we have a few cash projects that are ongoing in the digital cash space, and we're working on those, but we're also shifting to, you know, what can we really do in the short term to build scale in this market? So we're focused also on seeing how we could integrate our ledger with legacy cash solutions. So while the digital world is building up on the cash side, we could also facilitate intraday in legacy cash to start really building the market and scaling it.
That makes total sense. I'm just trying to think from the buy side. How do the buy side access your platform? Because obviously the bank use case, it's quite clear. But for a large asset manager, investment manager, how would they typically go about, you know, what's the business case, how they go about, you know, taking on this type of project?
So we've worked with a few buy side firms on a few use cases, and I think really margin is probably the one that resonates with them the most. Really, the platform as it stands today, this is partly because of our sponsors, our shareholders, has really been built focused on the needs of the large GSIB, and it's, you know, it's spaghetti mess of funding requirements, its sources and uses of collateral. But if one of those uses is to deliver to a buy-side firm, for instance, that can be done a couple of ways. That can be done on platform. If the buy-sider is one of our participants, well, we can also use the platform to increase the mobility of collateral to the buy-side. And might come on to this again in a few minutes, but we've been marketing a product called the DCR Long Box. And really, DCRs are what we call the assets once they're encapsulated on platform, right? And DCR, just for our listeners, digital collateral record?
Correct.
Yes, digital collateral record. So what you can do with a DCR Long Box as a dealer, if you've got an obligation in tri-party, for instance, a UMR obligation to the buy side or to anyone else for that matter, you can use the DCR Long Box to update in real time between different tri-party agents. So this solves a significant pain point for our firms. And it was actually one of our clients who brought this use case to us. So we're fairly confident it resonates with the banks. If you have your collateral on platform, you can update it from tri-party 1 to tri-party 2 to tri-party 3 very, very quickly, much more quickly than you can with today's cross-custodian settlement requirements that are generated in that flow. So if today you might want to use collateral that you've got, say, a tri-party agent 1 and you want to withdraw it and use it at tri-party agent 2, that's a process. You can do it, but you have to instruct settlement. You have to wait for the cross-custody to happen. You've got to hope you've got the credit clearance to get that through in one go. And if you want to pull it back the same day because you've deployed it for a few hours and then bring it back, well, good luck. That's probably not going to be very successful. You can try that in today's world. Again, the advantages of the digital ledger, you've got a longer settlement day. You've got more confidence in the fact that you can settle because there are no cross-custodian moves. So you can take the asset from tri-party agent 1 in the morning, put it in tri-party agent 2 intraday, perhaps cover one of the intraday repos that you may have to raise cash in the interim, and then put it back into tri-party agent 1 for the overnight to meet another obligation. So if the buy side are on the far side of those transactions, that's how they can receive assets. Now, they might not be directly connected to the ledger, but for the firms using the mobility platform, it increases their ability to cover those obligations.
Good. Very good.
And this is my small brain kicking in, but trying to summarize what you've just described, because I think it's a really important concept, actually. Is this effectively a cross-custodian asset pool?
It can be, yeah. There's a few ways that clients effectively have the optionality of exactly how they structure that on the platform and exactly what connections they take advantage of. But yes, that's a good way to think about it in vision terms.
Moving assets from one custodian to another, and then as soon as you introduce regions and sub-custodians, it's a pickle, isn't it?
So, I mean, it just changes how optimization will be done going forward.
We hope so. I think it opens up, some of our clients have told us, for instance, that today they know what their theoretical maximum optimization return is, and they know that they're only hitting maybe 70 or 80% of that from one day to the next, and it's really getting that last 20, 25, 30%. They need more mobility to be able to access those final sets of returns. So hopefully that's what we're shooting at here.
I guess to that point, it's not about recreating an optimization algorithm, but it's allowing the output of that to actually settle.
And actually be...
to reach its potential.
Exactly.
Is there anything else you guys want to share in terms of what you're working on, mobility specifically?
Well, I think the long box is definitely one. You might have seen in the press, we've got something that we're planning to launch maybe in just maybe 8 or 9 weeks from now, which will actually enable initial margin to be transferred via the ledger in favor of one of the big CC keys in the European market. So we're really looking forward to getting that live. We've got some really good backing from a couple of strong clients on that front. And yeah, that should be quite exciting. I think that will open up a number of doors and hopefully show the industry what's possible in this domain.
Yeah, for FCMs, managing intraday movements with CCPs is challenging. So any support around that would be really, really welcome.
Yeah, it's more automation. It should be faster. It should be more secure. And it should help to reduce those fails costs and take those buffers down.
Great stuff. Finally, we should probably think a little bit about practical considerations for firm that's less familiar with digital and wants to start their journey, possibly implement solutions such as HKIX. What should firms be thinking about there to get started?
I think one thing that is helpful for firms is to identify and target a particular business case in the firm where they think that DLT can be applied. And one of the key challenges that we've heard from people and potentially also have experienced is trying to target the right audience in the bank for that particular product. So we've deliberately called our working group intraday liquidity rather than intraday repo, because despite the fact that intraday repo is a product that might facilitate an intraday liquidity market, it might not be a repo trader who is managing that liquidity position for the firm. It might be someone in treasury, liquidity management, collateral management. So it really depends on the particular bank. And so for people who are sitting in banks and want to, use the platform or others to really engage in the digital world, it's really understanding what that business case is, what value they could extract from it, work with us and others to really help pinpoint those kind of things. And I would suggest people to reach out to us to help them develop business cases. And then just making sure they have the right audience internally, like to determine who is actually going to benefit and see the benefits of the platform.
So in terms of like key stakeholders for that sort of typical program, would it be credit, risk, liquidity, operations, tech? Who else would need to be in that sort of initial kickoff meeting to start and initiate?
I think our experience is typically that banks do this one of two ways. They either come with this from the trading desk, and all the business management function associated with the trading desk, and then maybe the rest of the bank is behind them. We don't need to work with them directly. Or they bring their digital team or their sort of future vision team who coordinate the project on behalf of the business to make sure that they can bring those teams together. So those teams are definitely involved on the bank side. We don't tend to get much direct contact with a risk team. And sometimes the operations teams, but the credit teams, for instance, that's typically managed inside the bank. And we'll work with the ops team, the tech team, maybe the desk, that's about it.
Okay. Because typically what we would do, we'd look at what that new sort of target operating model would be from all those key stakeholders and bring them all together and sort of design the blueprints and help them sort of articulate what that is. So they're sort of things that organizations that need to sort of do before they sort of start this type of program.
Very good. I think we've covered a lot and we're probably a little bit short on time, but a really hot topic, more than adequately covered today. Some great insights into the collateral challenges we face today, as well as the digital solutions out there, including, of course, our friends at HKIX, so right at the front of that drive that bring mobility and other major benefits. We've mentioned most of them today. I guess if you're not already on your digital journey, the message seems to be loud and clear. Get started now, because there are genuine benefits and major savings to be made.
100%.
Thank you so much to each of you. It was fun. I hope you enjoyed it.
No, thanks for having us. That was fun.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Tonic Boom. Don't forget to like and subscribe to stay up to date on the latest developments and industry opinion across capital markets. Visit thetonicconsultancy.com to see more of our expertise-led insights and end-to-end solutions. Tonic. More expertise, more trust, more achieved.